We're talking today with the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, the Honorable Congressman from the 3rd District of Oklahoma, Frank Lucas. Congressman, a lot of things happening right now in relationship to this 2014 Farm Bill and some other stuff as well, but thought we might talk a little bit about Farm Bill implementation for a few moments if we could. Might kind of circle back to the first thing that the administration said they were going to do and they've done, but I know there were some significant problems with the livestock disaster assistance rollout. Has that kind of smoothed out from what you've been able to find out from talking to with your constituents?
Ron, it's still challenging. We in the Farm Bill attempted to use the language from the 08 Farm Bill in reference to the livestock disaster language to minimize the complications of implementing the new program. When it came time to actually implement, USDA told me, essentially as they told producers across the country, that as many as 3 different platforms of computer software do not work together, that they had been working nonstop with IBM and other folks to try and perfect that. But what it amounts to is producers have been obligated across the country, or in the drought areas, I should say, to sit down with pencil and paper and work with local FSA office folks. It's a slow process, but it's worth your time. If you're in a drought area, in particular in the southwest United States, you need to make an appointment, and an appointment is a necessary thing in most FSA offices because of the amount of time and the effort involved. But I'm pushing on the secretary. I've had several personal conversations. The committee's pushing on the department staff. Figure out your software issues. But until that's done, producers need to be patient, take their records, bring everything asked of them, and be prepared to spend some time, maybe several hours, but work it through. It will be worth your effort.
Did this surprise you some? I mean, obviously, you just kind of reopened a program that had been in place up to a year or so ago.
Yes. At the time, we put the language together on every piece of language. We attempted on a staff and a member basis to work with both the department and the Senate Ag Committee to avoid these kind of situations. I thought we had their assurances that we had language that would flow, that would work within existing software, that would work with an existing structure at the FSA offices. That has not proven to be the case. I'm not prepared to point a finger at anyone. I'm just trying to get the department to fix the problems as quickly as possible. And until then, persuade my neighbors and fellow farmers and ranchers across the country, be patient, fill out the paperwork, do what you need to do. And remember, while the period for enrollment will be open for some time, at the end of this fiscal year, there are some issues about sequestration. So if you don't apply before the new fiscal year, you may find yourself with a reduced payment based on the consequences of the automatic cut in sequestration. So call your FSA office, make a request for an appointment, begin to pull your records together. We just got to work our way through this difficult situation.
So do it before September 30th, obviously.
Yes, yes.
Let's talk about crop insurance. I know this is a kind of a sore point right now. The subcommittee that chaired by Mr. Conaway under the House Ag Committee umbrella had Michael Skews in here just a few days ago. It seemed like that the request was pretty clear to Mr. Skews and to USDA. We need APH, actual production history, for this upcoming crop season, starting with wheat growers when they put the crop in the ground here in a matter of a few more weeks. USDA doesn't seem to have much intention to get this done.
The response that USDA gave that day and they've given to me personally from the top all the way to the bottom is they have so many things going on they can't implement the process. But for our listeners out there, actual production history adjustment is critical when you've been through the kind of drought that we've been through for multi-years in our region. What I've asked of the department, what Mr. Conaway made a request of the department, what I've asked of the secretary is, if you can't implement it for the whole country for this coming crop year, at least look at Oklahoma and Texas and Colorado, California, New Mexico, Kansas, the places that have suffered from the drought. If you can't implement the whole thing, at least consider doing a partial implementation in the hardest hit areas. Producers who have really suffered in recent years, this APH is the difference between having viable crop insurance for the coming year or not having viable crop insurance, and you're exactly right. It's going to be time soon to put the wheat in the ground in our region.
It just seems like that they could go ahead and do this and to accommodate our winter wheat producers, then turn around, continue to work on it. They've got till really early next year to be able to, you know, put all the finishing touches on it for spring planting crops.
I wholeheartedly agree, and that's the point that both Conaway and I have been pressing on everyone from the secretary on down. Sure, a little flexibility, sure, a little consideration for the areas hardest hit, but so far, the department is going at the pace where they want to go at in implementing the APH adjustment.
So no luck on getting any sort of movement on that yet.
No, but I'm pushing as hard as I can.
Title I, as far as the rest of the farm safety net, are you pleased with what they've done to this? Are they about where you thought they would be?
I think they are. I think they're moving forward. We also need to remember that when you move away from the old direct payment system and you basically use a risk management safety net, there's a lot of changes in the programs, a lot of new things to be implemented. So in all fairness to the department, they have a full plate out there to try to address. So by and large, stepping away from APH, stepping away from the issues dealing with livestock disaster, I think they are... I think they're making progress in a whole bunch of areas, and I respect that and I appreciate that. And when we all sit down with the local FSA folks at the cubicle or across the counter back home, bear that in mind. They're having to implement a huge amount of new stuff. They're having to deal with new software, new policies, new rules. Have a little heart for those folks that you're dealing with across the table. But by and large, I think the department in most areas are doing the best they can.
One area that was obviously kind of spotlighted this last week for the 2014 Farm Bill in the conservation arena was this pot of money for dam rehab. That was something you've worked on for a long time, and literally you had indicated that this was going to be a unique one pot of money that we needed to grab very, very quickly.
Absolutely, Ron. The original upstream flood control programs came out of a movement in Oklahoma in the 1930s and 40s. These structures, while 2,000 of them are in Oklahoma, they're all across the country. Almost 12,000 systems across the entire country. A dozen years ago, 14 now maybe, my focus became on how do we continue the life of the existing investment. That's where the rehab law that I authored that ultimately was signed into law came from. And in all the farm bills since then, I've worked hard to secure money, but had struggles with the appropriators defending the money continuing to go for rehab. In the unique way that the appropriations process and the farm bill and the timing worked out, essentially we have access to $250 million in the farm bill to accelerate this rehab program. And when the chief of the NRCS announced this last week that it was his intent to let contracts to use this window of opportunity to commit the whole sum of money to jumpstart the program, I was so pleased, because here we have an NRCS chief who really cares about conservation in the spirit of the old days, and he's willing to use the opportunity that we've provided to put this $262 million to work. One other thought, though, there's occasional criticism about these dams. People need to remember, a watershed dam, the majority of them only occasionally hold water, and that's immediately after a flood. There are a few fishing holes, but the majority of the water is dry all the time. A handful of water sources for people. The real benefit of upstream flood control dams are not for the farmer or rancher whose property it sits on. It's everybody downstream, from the backside of that dam all the way to the ocean, be it the Pacific or the Atlantic. They're the beneficiaries of this. So spending this $250 million in an accelerated fashion will protect people across the entire country every time they go to sleep at night and the cloud comes up, so to speak.
You obviously had the chance to spend a little time with the chief of NRCS this last week in Perry, and in conversations with him beyond just the dam rehab, Waters of the U.S., I suspect, came up in your conversation. What sort of assurances or what's the take that you get from Mr. Weller in regards to NRCS perhaps being some sort of a regulatory cop for EPA under Waters of the U.S.?
He was very cautious in his comments to me. He understands the reason that I and the rest of rural America are so sensitive about this EPA proposal. Just very cautious is the way I would respond to that, Ron. But this is an area where we can't just try to make the best do of the situation. We have to do something about this rule proposal. There's a piece of language that's passed out of a committee in the House to try and essentially overturn it from the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, their primary jurisdiction. Whether it's that or riders on appropriation bills, we have to do something about this. When you take away, in effect, the phrase navigable for all practical purposes from the definition of what waters the EPA has control over, then that really gives them the ability to supersede states and reach out and touch everyone, all the way back to the drip off the barn, the drip off our house, the drip off the front parking lot of our business, or the brim of our hat. And that is scary, Ron, especially with this present leadership at the EPA and the senior levels.
Yeah, with the current Senate leadership not interested, can the House really effectively delay or derail this thing?
I am hopeful that there will be a windfall opportunity. At some point, we have to fund the federal government for the coming year. At some point, I would hope that there could be some language in the appropriation bills that would slow this process down enough to get us past the next election. Well, I am hopeful of a change in leadership in the United States Senate, and then using the power of the legislative branch, where we're not just one half of one third of government, then I'm hopeful we'll be able to make a real long-term perspective, or at least hold the line until we have a new administration. Because after all, President Obama is 2.5 years counting, and he's gone. I'm waiting for the next one.
All righty. Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Frank Lucas, Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. He was drawn out of a meeting by staff to be able to visit with us for a few months, in this case on a cell phone. So quality not quite as good as our normal landline out of his office, but appreciate his comments most certainly today. On the Radio Oklahoma Network and Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.